الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We come to the story of the Prophet Salih عليه الصلاة والسلام and Thamud. I read it from Surah Hud, verse 61. After أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وإلى ثمود أخاهم صالحا قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره هو أنشأكم من الأرض واستعمركم فيها فاستغفروه ثم توبوا إليه إن ربي قريب مجيب. قالوا يا صالح قد كنت فينا مرجوا قبل هذا أتنهانا أن نعبد ما يعبد آباؤنا وإننا لفي شك مما تدعونا إليه مريد. Here Salih is speaking to his people. Prophet Salih عليه الصلاة والسلام is speaking to his people. And Sheikh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he said that the people of Thamud, whom Prophet Salih alayhi salam went to, they were the second generation, or those who came after the people of Ad. So the people of Ad, they had Prophet Hud alayhi salam. And after the people of Ad were destroyed, another people came, and they were called Thamud. And Salih, Prophet Salih, was the prophet that came to them. And the Thamud people, they would build houses likewise dwellings likewise in the mountains or in the rocks. And they had lots of blessings that came upon them. Lots of richness and lots of luxuries and lots of adornments that they had in their lives in terms of possessions and wealth. And they built, as we mentioned, dwellings in mountains. وَمِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا فَبَطَرُ النِّعَمْ وَكَفَرُوهَا. And so they negated the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, and they were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has blessed them with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, I will give you more. وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And notice it's got lam al-tawqeed and noon al-tawqeed, which is, in reality, when you come to translate it, you should say, translating the meaning, because the Quran cannot be translated. But the meaning of the Quran, we say that here, if you are grateful, indeed, the first tawqid, lama tawqid, nuna tawqid, of a surety. And there's a third tawqid, which is understood, a qasim from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah. Three tawqid, when you have lama tawqid, nuna tawqid like that, there is a third tawqid amongst them, as is mentioned by the scholars of tafsir. From them, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah and others have mentioned that. Three tawqids. So it's something that's going to happen. If you are grateful, I will give you more, Allah says. وَلَا إِن كَفَرْتُمْ. But if you are ungrateful, إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. Then my punishment is severe. So the people of Thamud, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them many blessings, they had their shelter, they had provision, sustenance, but they turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He has given them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them Prophet Salih to remind them. وَحِينَ ذَكَّرَهُمْ وَأَقَامَ الْأَدِلَّةَ وَالْبَرَاهِينَ. And when He reminded them and established the proof upon them, عَلَى وُجُوبِ تَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ, showing them the obligation in worshipping Allah alone. That was His call. Like all the other prophets, worship Allah alone. As he mentioned here, اعبد الله. Worship Allah. He says here, in the other surah, اعبد الله ما لكم من إله غيره. Worship Allah, you have nothing to do with other deities besides him. In this surah, Surah Hud, he said, نعم. فاستغفروه ثم توبوا إليه. Seek forgiveness from Allah and repent to him. Seek forgiveness for the past that you have committed and repent to him daily for any mistakes that you commit in the day. And this shows you that the dawah of the Anbiya is taking care of what transpired in the past and also taking care of the present and hoping for a better future. This is the dawah of all of the Anbiya. And all of this surah, all of the prophets and messengers, surah, they all say the same thing. They say, استغفروا ربكم استغفروه ثم توبوا إليه. They all say the same. And Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned that. He mentioned, look at this. This is the da'wah of the Anbiya, taking care of the past, taking care of the present, and looking forward to the future. Taking care of the past by doing istighfar. We must do istighfar 100 times a day. It is best incumbent. It is best for you and me, seeking forgiveness. And if you know a particular sin that you've committed, ask Allah to forgive you now, before time you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He questions you about that sin. فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. And how many times, because of istighfar, Allah does not destroy a nation, because of the istighfar of individuals in that nation. Make istighfar. We are living in a society where a lot of sins are committed, where kufr and shirk is present and is widespread. Seek forgiveness daily. If you do not wish to be in a calamity that occurs over the people, seek forgiveness and Allah will save you, will make a reason for you either to leave that place that you are going, that's where the calamity is coming upon, to leave it until the place is destroyed. Or if you do not seek istighfar on a daily basis, then when the calamity comes, everyone will fall into it and everyone will be raised up according to their intentions. As the Messenger said to Aisha radiallahu anha, كُلٌ يُبْعَثُ عَلَى نِيَّتِهِ. Everyone will be raised upon his intention. So he called them and he said to them, worship Allah, seek forgiveness, and don't be arrogant. But they rejected his signs. And they rejected him. And they said, قَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَ مَرْجُوَّ. O Salih, you were amongst us someone who we used to respect. Someone who we thought they had some honor. قَبْلَ هَذَا. Before this. Before you calling us now to Tawheed. Before you're calling us now to keep away from shirk. To keep away from telling us off regarding our worship of idols and our worship of others besides Allah. Then before we used to respect you, but now you come in with this call, we don't actually, we don't respect you like we used to respect you. And Shaykh al-Sa'di rahmullah said, قَدْ كُنَّا قَدْ تَخَيَّلْنَا. We imagined fika. We imagined that you, or had that imagination in you, that you were the best of us. The best of us. لِكَمَالِكْ وَكَمَالِ أَخْلَاقِكْ. Because of your perfect example amongst us. Because of your nature, because of your stature amongst us, because of your etiquette amongst us, because of your manners amongst us. You had good manners and we respected you. But now you're telling us to worship only Allah alone. Now you're telling us to keep away from the other deities, partners. You're not leaving us alone. Now you are in, what's the word? Now you are, you're basically getting involved with our business. There's a word for that. Is it encroaching or what's the word? No, there's another word. Interfering. Yeah, that's a good word. Interfering. But there was another one I was looking for. But anyway, with ing, ends in ing. You are getting involved with our affair. Interfering. Huh? Intruding. That's a nice one. You're intruding. You see, when you come to translate, it's not easy. It's a choice of words. You are intruding into our affairs. Huh? Encroaching? Jazakumullah khairan. Alright, we got enough there, alhamdulillah. We got enough INGs there. But getting involved with our affair. Yeah? Interfering, intruding into our affair. But look how they respected his manners. And that's how the da'iyah should be. The caller to all good should first and foremost rectify himself. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah raised him and praised him and he said, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَمَّا A messenger has come from amongst yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ It grieves him that you turn away and he is amongst you Ra'uf Rahim. He is Ra'uf, kind and Rahim, merciful to you. This is how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is and was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of mankind, the best of creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had the best of manners, the best of etiquette. And there are so many examples for that. And so it shows us that if we show bad manners, if we are not truthful, if we use deception and lies, and we start cheating and we start doing all the things that are dispraised, then the people will turn away from you. The people won't respect you. People won't listen to you. So first and foremost, we have to rectify this heart. We have to rectify this heart. They all said as well, after they said this, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ not that one, there's another verse, where they said, we do not want any reward from you. نعم إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحِ نعم No, not that one, not that one. That's a good one, yes. That's another verse. نعم, لا أسألكم أجرا إن أجري إلا على الله. نعم, إن أجري إلا على الله. I don't seek from you anything. We mentioned that in the previous prophets. My reward is with Allah. They didn't want any wealth. They didn't want anything from them in their call to Tawheed. But there's another one. There's another one where the, and as far as I remember, it was Prophet Salih as well. Same prophet. نعم ولا أخالفكم إلى ما أنهاكم عنه وما أريد أن أخالفكم إلى ما أنهاكم عنه I don't want to just differ with you in that which I forbid you from doing. I'm not doing it for the sake of just differing from you. To be different. وما أريد أن أخالفكم إلى ما أنهاكم عنه إن أريد إلا الإصلاح I just want rectification. عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب إصلاح ما استطعت according to my ability and upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I rely upon and to him we repent continuously. So here again we have Prophet Salih alayhi salatu wasalam not seeking anything from the people and not just opposing the people for the sake of opposing the people, not seeking that he is praised, not seeking position, not seeking... And Rasulullah as well was offered women, was offered position, was offered status, dunya, wealth, to leave the call of Tawheed, and he didn't. So all the prophets were upon that caliber, were upon that level, were upon that nobility. And that is the successful caller. Successful caller, he doesn't seek what the people have. Rather, he seeks what Allah has. He seeks what Allah has. And you take care of your akhirah, Allah will take care of your dunya and deen. You take care of your akhirah, Allah will take care of your dunya and deen. But if you seek the dunya above the akhirah, then always you'll have poverty between your eyes. Always you will feel, I don't have, I'm not satisfied. I don't have what he has and that one has and so on. You start feeling that you don't have the ability to do what others have in terms of health, in terms of wealth, in terms of children, in terms of you're always complacent, and that is a soul that is not satisfied. So they loved this. They when they saw his manners, they respected it. They loved his manners, but because he call them to tawheed, to worship Allah alone, huh? They kept away from him. Isn't this the same situation with the groups, the jama'at? All the groups is the same. Jama'at Ikhwan Muslimin is the same. When you call them to tawheed and rectification of the errors, calling people to rectify themselves, enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Rectify that the call is one, is not many calls. Al jama'a wahida la jama'at. Al jama'a wahida la asharat. Not tens. So when you say to them, the motto of Ikhwan al Muslimin, which says, نتعاون فيما اتفقنا عليه ويعذر بعضنا بعضا فيما اختلفنا فيه. We cooperate in that which we agree upon, and we excuse in that which we disagree upon. No problem. You can stay with your aqidah, his aqidah, his aqidah, everyone's aqidah different. No problem, not an issue. Same with jama'at al-tabliq. When you say to them, ya jama'a, fada'il a'mal, calling to just good manners, is not the da'wah of Rasulullah SAW, only this. First and foremost, you call the people to tawheed. Call the people to worship Allah alone. Call the people away from shirk. And shirk in its detail. By explaining shirk to the people. Talismans. Relying on talismans. Shirk. Wearing good luck charms. Shirk. Relying on good luck. Fearing bad luck. Shirk. Explaining this to the people. Fearing others besides Allah. Shirk. That only Allah that you should fear the most. Loving others besides you love Allah. Or loving others more than you love Allah. Or on par with Allah. Shirk. Many types of shirk. Showing off. Doing things for the people. Shirk al-asghar. Swearing by other than Allah. Likewise. How many times we heard it? You go to Egypt. They say, and many times. I heard this in my own ears. وَالنَّبِي وَحَيَاتْ فُولَانِ by the someone's life. My mother's life. They swear by other than Allah. In Morocco, you go to Morocco, you see most of the, not only in Morocco, and even in Somalia, magic is apparent. People are seeking help from the jinn to spit up marriages. Shirk is happening. You go to one market, the whole market is for the soothsayers. It's like a market for the soothsayers. Shirk is happening. Don't say to me, this is primitive. As Salman al-Awda said, this is primitive shirk. As if it doesn't exist. And who said that anyway? From the scholars. Salman al-Awda, from the political activist, he used to say, there's two types of shirk. Modern shirk, primitive shirk. Primitive shirk, the shirk of calling upon other than Allah, the shirk of going to the graves and calling upon the dead. He called this primitive. And modern shirk is the shirk of rulers not ruling by Allah's law. Look, that means it's political. He's thinking politics. Not thinking like the Sahaba and their prophets who came before them. Thinking ibadah, tawheed, worshipping Allah alone. And the same thing happened with Sayyid Qutb. Sayyid Qutb, he said, La ilaha illallah means, La hakimiyyata illa lillah. There is no rulership except that belongs to Allah. That is not the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The Prophet ﷺ didn't come just to say to us, Allah is the Lord, Allah is the King, Allah is the owner, Allah is the planner, Allah is the... No. Allah, the Messenger ﷺ came to tell us, yes, He's the planner, but you must worship Him alone. You see the difference? He didn't call you just to tawhid rububiyyah. Ya ayyuhan nas, اعبدوا ربكم. First command in the Quran. الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. So the Prophet's call, tawhid. So what happened thereafter then? Prophet Salih, alayhi salatu salam. Clearly they knew, and it was, they admitted that he had good manners. And they knew that he doesn't lie, he speaks the truth. But they didn't want to accept. They didn't want to accept and to leave off what their forefathers were worshipping. They didn't want to leave off the sins and transgression that they were doing. They didn't want to leave off misguidance. And so, they wanted a sign. Like all people, they want signs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a sign for Prophet Salih. And that sign was a camel. A large camel. Enormous camel. هَذِهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ This is the camel of Allah. The camel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Where no camel is similar like it. In size. In what it can do. An offer. An aid. In its honor. In its like a... in its size. فِذَاتِهَا وَشَرَفِهَا وَمَنَافِعَهَا And its benefit that it brings. لَكُمْ آيَةٌ This is a sign for you. فَضَرُوهَا تَأْكُلْ فِي أَرْضِ اللَّهِ So leave it to eat on the earth. The earth of Allah. Leave it to eat. Don't kill it. It will serve you. It will aid you. And your community. And they used it. They used it to get water from the stream, from the river, in order to provide water for the village people, for the townsmen, in order for them to survive. So they used that camel. Not only that, the camel was there used for milk, for water, for carrying heavy things. It was used in that which is good. However, in their Medina, in this place, amongst the Thamud, there were 9 priests, if you like. Tis'atu rahtin. From the devils of these, amongst the people. They wanted to cover up. And they wanted to hide the truth. And they wanted to plot and plan to kill Prophet Saleh, alayhi salam. He came with truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about these tis'atu raht. He said about them, يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُصْلِحُونَ They corrupted upon the earth and they do not rectify. Please, Akhi, Surah Al-Nahl, can you help me? Verse 48. Surah Al-Nahl, verse 48. So we can look at Tafsir ibn Kathir. وَكَانَ صَالِحْ قَدْ حَضَّرَهُمْ مِنْ عَقْلِ النَّاقَةِ So Salih, Prophet Salih, he warned them from killing this camel. But these 9 evil priests, supposedly they were considered to be, you know, well respected amongst the society. They were considered to be, to have some nobility in the society. But they were evil. They were worse than the rest of the people. Because these ones now, they come in between the truth and the people. They come in between. So they are obstacle. And they're using makar, deception. They're using, they're plotting and planning in order to kill. In order to kill Prophet Saleh. So they wanted to get rid of enjoining good and forbidding the evil. They wanted to get rid of righteous people. They wanted to get rid of Tawheed. They wanted to get rid of Ikhlas and worship being for Allah alone. And let me see what Allah, in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, what he mentions. This is number 48, which comes on the next 48 here, look. See it comes on the next page. No. 48. I just wanted to see. Look on here, 48. Here. The small print. So he said here, يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُسْلِحُونَ And I want to come here and stop there just to reflect upon those who know the truth and they don't practice it. In a hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, the messenger, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, لا تكون عالما حتى تكون متعلما. You will not be a scholar until you be a student. ولا تكون بالعلم عالما حتى تكون به عاملا. You will not be by your knowledge a scholar, and with the knowledge that you practice, that you learn, you will not be a scholar until you practice that knowledge. Until you practice that knowledge. The statement of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and that is Iqtida' al-ilm of Akhrajahu al-Khatib al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. And also this next narration, which is a beautiful narration also, in Ibn Abi Shayba from his Musannif. And the Musannif of Ibn Abi Shayba, by way of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who said, قولوا خيرا تعرفون به. Say good things and you will be known by those good things. وعملوا به تكونوا من أهله. And act according to that knowledge that you preach and you will be from its people. ولا تكونوا عجلا مدايع بدرا. And don't be three things. عجلا, hasty. Madayi, spreading any news that comes to you, just like speaker, just like a speaker system. Budran, and he explains it here what he means by budran. From those who speak with lewd speech, speech that's not befitting, speech that's not good, speech that's not that is without. It's basically vile speech. Should protect your tongue from vile speech. And notice in this one, he said, don't be of those who are hasty, Abdurrahman. So he said, don't be ujulan. Don't be hasty. Because the youth, in many cases, is hasty. And next one he said, madayir, rushing to spread any news. You should ascertain the news when it comes, before it comes. And the third narration from Ad-Darimi in his Sunan, and also Abu Nu'aym in his Hilya, by way of Al-Mas'udi from Al-Qasim, who said, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said to me, إِنِّي لَأَحْسَبُ الرَّجُلْ يَنْسَى الْعِلْمْ كَانَ يَعْلَمُهُ لِلْخَطِيئَةِ يَعْمَلُهَا. That I consider the person to forget knowledge that he used to know because of a sin he committed. So sins are destructive. Disobedience to Allah is destructive. Learning and not practicing is against you. And it is one of the proofs against you on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ لَمْ يَعْمَلًا مُعَدَّبٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ عُبَّادِ الْوَثَنِ. As Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimullah, he said that the knowledgeable one, or the one who knows something, he doesn't practice it, will be punished. Will be punished before the idol worshippers. Why? The hadith Sahih Muslim, a man will come on day of judgment and Allah will say to him, what have you done? What I've given you of knowledge? He will say, I have taught the people for your sake. Allah will say to him, you have lied. You only did that so that people call you scholar. And it was said, and from there he will be thrown into the fire because he was not sincere. He was not sincere. He didn't practice what he preached. And these tis'arahtin, these evil priests or noble people that were considered to be noble in the community in terms of their outward look or appearance, but in reality they were the most evil of the individuals there, as Shaykh As-Sa'di rahimahullah, he mentioned. Na'am, ولهذا قال الله تعالى إِذِنْ بَعْثَ أَشْقَاهَا. So Allah mentioned in Surah Shams verse 12 that they were the worst of them. Go to Shams verse 12. That will give Shams. Surah Shams verse 12. إِذِنْ بَعْثَ أَشْقَاهَا. That the worst of them, we are these nine evil men who were considered to have some status in society. But look, they didn't practice what they preached. They didn't, and they wanted to get rid of Prophet Saleh, to kill him. They wanted to also kill him. And harm the naqa, the camel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as a sign. Naam. So they got ready, he says. They got ready in order to kill the camel, and thereafter to kill Prophet Salih. So when Prophet Salih, so they killed the camel, and when they killed the camel, Prophet Salih alayhi salam, he knew that the punishment was coming straight away. Straight away he realized, and he said to them, "Tamatta'u fi darikum." Yes, you enjoy yourselves in this world, in this life that you are living. You kill the camel, that which Allah sent as a sign, as a blessing for you. But you're so arrogant, and you rejected the truth. You rejected that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come with. And you didn't want to leave what your forefathers were upon, in worshipping those partners besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and committing shirk. So he said, "Tamatta'u fi darikum thalathata ayyam." Enjoy yourselves in your dwellings for 3 days. ذَلِكَ وَعْدٌ غَيْرُ مَكْذُوبٌ. That is a promise which is not a lie. It is a promise that's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in these 3 days, those 9 evil men, they wanted not only to kill the naqa, but to kill Prophet Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. They wanted to kill him. And they made a plan. And they plotted. And they lied. And after they killed the camel, they said, "Ma shahidna mahlika ahlihi wa inna la sadiqun." They said, "We didn't really see who killed that camel, and we are truthful." They killed the camel and they said, "We didn't see." Subhanallah. فَدَبَرُوا هَذَا الْمَكَرُ الْعَظِيمُ. So they planned this evil plan. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Yes, they plan. They plot. And Allah plans. And Allah is the best of planners. فَحِينَ كَمَنُوا فِي أَصْلِ جَبَلْ لِيَنْظُرُوا الْفُرْسَ فِي صَالِحِ. Then when they came close, to get close to Prophet Salih, and he came close to the end of the 3 days, they got close to kill Prophet Salih, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his punishment upon them. They never got a chance to kill him. They never got a chance to harm him. And those who believed, فَكَانُوا سَلَفًا مُقَدِّمًا لِقَوْمِهِمْ إِلَى نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ. So those who were the worst of them, they ended up being in the first of the hellfire to be punished. فَأَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ سَخْرَةً مِنْ أَعْلَى الْجَبَلِ. Look how Allah destroyed them. They were hiding behind a mountain in order to get to Prophet Salih and to kill him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a rock. That rock came tumbling down and it got rid of all of them, killed all of them, destroyed all of them. وَقُتِلُوا أَشْنَعَ قِتْلًا. They were killed in the worst of ways. That was their punishment. That was those ones. Before the end of the 3 days, that was first, Allah subhanahu began with them. Allah began with them, with the worst of the people. And then thereafter, the rest of the punishment came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Prophet Salih alayhi salam, he tried his best to call them, and he said, "I'm from the Nasihun. I'm from those who are giving you advice. I'm from those who are trying to call you for your betterment and for your rectification." But they didn't listen. Ya qawmi, laqad ablaghtukum risalat rabbi wa nasahtu lakum. He said, "I did give you the message from my Lord, and I did advise you, walakin la tuhibbun an-nasihin." But you don't like those who advise. Look how beautiful that is. As the rest of the punishment came upon the rest of them, he's saying this, saying to them, "Look, I did advise you, I did my duty, I gave you the message, but you don't like those who advise." And no doubt, the opposite of advice is to cheat, is al-ghish. Aksul al-nasiha is al-ghish. And all the prophets, they don't cheat. All the prophets, they advise. To the best of their ability, they advise. And they call people to tawheed, to worship Allah alone, to keep away from all the sins and disobedience that will harm their tawheed, they harm their ikhlas. Shaykh Sa'd Rahmullah, at the end of this, he mentioned some of the benefits of this story. Number one, he says, all of the prophets called with one call, Tawheed. And whoever belies any one of them, it's like he has belied all of them. And all that he has come with. Because all of them are one. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسوله. We do not separate between any of the messengers. All of their call are one. And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about each and every one of them. In Surah Al-Shu'ara, he said, كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And when he came to Ad, he said, كَذَّبَتْ عَادٌ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And when he came to Thamud, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودٌ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah said that these people, they denied all of the messengers. He didn't say the Rasul that was sent to them. He said, Al-Mursaleen, all of the messengers. So if you belie and you reject any one of them, it's like you've rejected all of them, he says. Number two, the punishment of Allah is upon that nation that transgresses. So their disbelief and their belying is a reason for them to be destroyed. And the end result would be for the believers. And the punishment will come sooner or later. Will come upon the evildoers. Number three. That the false beliefs that are taken from the forefathers is one of the reasons or biggest reasons for one not to accept the truth. So that must be refuted. These false beliefs is the biggest reason as an obstacle that the people take from their forefathers, is the biggest reason for them to accept the truth. So when the prophets came and they refuted the false beliefs of those that came before from the forefathers of their people, then that is the same manhaj and methodology that Rasulullah ﷺ followed in refuting the false beliefs of those who came before. And that is the same methodology of all of the ulama until today who refute the false beliefs of those who came before from the different groups, from the different groups and parties and sects. And what a beautiful proof that is, that this is incumbent upon us to do that in order to remove the obstacle upon the people. But if you just leave the people as they are, like the Ikhwan Muslimin, like Jama'at al-Tabligh, like Jama'at al-Takfir and Jihad and all these Jama'at who claim to be upon the truth, but they don't rectify the Aqidah. They don't rectify and correcting false beliefs. And they consider this to be a secondary goal. But in reality, the goal of all the prophets is that goal, to refute all these false beliefs of the forefathers that came with. أَتَنْهَانَ أَن نَعْبُدَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا, they said, and in Surah Hud, do you forbid us from worshipping what our forefathers used to worship? So all of the umam, all of them said the same. إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. We found our forefathers upon a way, and we are following their path. We are following their path. But the way of Rasulullah ﷺ and the way of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, the scholars that follow them upon righteousness, is they refute the people of batil. And they refute the batil. And haqq will always prevail. الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. Truth is from your Lord, so don't be from the argumentative ones. Don't debate about it, it's the truth. خلاص. Accept it. الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. نعم. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ زَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Truth has come and falsehood has perished. Falsehood will always perish. Falsehood will always perish. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He aids us to be following the way of the Anbiya wal-Mursaleen, because their way is the way of salvation, the way of Tawheed and Sunnah, the way of salvation, the way of success. And He's successful who purifies his soul away from shirk, away from bid'ah, away from all the vices that will affect his heart. And the Messenger ﷺ taught us that. He taught us to be upon that. And we just want to read, which verse was it? Do you remember? Oh yes, verse number 12. Let's see.
وَقَوْلُهُ فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَعْنِي صَالِحًا عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ أي احذروا ناقة الله أن تمسوها بسوء وسقياها أي لا تعتدوا عليها في سقياها.
He said, provide water for them. Provide drink for them, this camel. And Allah forbade them from harming it. Every day they would get water. Every day it would supply drink for them.
فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا كَذَّبُوهُ فِي مَا جَاءَهُمْ بِهِ فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَنْ عَقَرُوا النَّاقَةَ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَهَا اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّخْرَةِ آيَةً.
Allah gave them this camel, enormous camel, as a proof, as a sign. But they went and killed it.
فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِدَمْبِهِمْ.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah became angry with them. فَدَمَّرَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And He destroyed them. فَسَوَّاهَا. And flattened. Flattened them and their dwellings. Flattened their punishment. Basically, punishment came. It was just طامة.
فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ.
Due to their sins. And this shows us sins are destructive. Be careful of sins. A sin starts small and then it grows. And then the person can't recognize truth from falsehood.
فَسَوَّاهَا أي فَجَعَلَ الْعُقُوبَ نَازِلَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَلَى السَّوَاءِ قَالَ قَتَادَ بَلَغَنَا أَنَّ حَيْمَرْ ثَمُودَ لَمْ يَعْقِرْ النَّاقَةَ حَتَّى تَابَعَهُ صَغِيرُهُمْ وَكَبِيرُهُمْ وَذَكَرَهُمْ وَأُنْثَاهُمْ فَلَمَّا اشْتَرَكَ الْقَوْمُ فِي عَقْرِهَا دَمْدَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِدَمْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا.
So they gathered, actually, it wasn't just one person that killed it. Because it was enormous. If one person tried to kill it, it would have killed them. It was enormous. So they gathered people in order to kill this camel. The women, folk, as well as the men, the young, the old, they gathered together in their plot. That was plotted by who? By those 9 evil individuals amongst the society, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flattened them first, destroyed them first with the sakhra. And then the rest of the punishment came upon the rest of them.
وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. قَالَ ابْنَ عَبَّاسِ لَا يَخَافُ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَحَدٍ تَبِعَ.
يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not afraid of punishing the people and what will be said thereafter.
قَالَ مُجَاهِدُ وَالْحَسَنُ وَبَكَرِ ابْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْمُزَنِي وَغَيْرُهُمْ.
نعم, they said similar. قَالُوا مِثْلَهَا. But I didn't get that other verse that we were looking for. No. Here it is. إِذْ انْبَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا أي أَشْقَى الْقَبِيلَ وَهُوَ قِدَارِ بْنِ سَالِفِ عَاقِرِ النَّاقَةِ وَهُوَ أُحَيْمَرْ ثَمُودِ وَهُوَ الَّذِي قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيهِ فَنَادَوْا صَاحِبَهُمْ فَتَعَاطَى فَعَقَرَ الآية. وَكَانَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ عَزِيزًا فِيهِمْ شَرِيفًا فِي قَوْمِهِ نَسِيبًا رَئِيسًا مُطَاعًا.
So Allah mentioned the most evil of them, and he mentioned here in Tafsir Ibn Kathir some of those names of those who were considered to be noble in society, were considered to be well respected in society, but they were evil in reality because they wanted to hide the truth.
نعم. إذ انبعث أشقاها انبعث لها رجل عارم عزيز منيع في رهطه مثل أبي زمعة رواه البخاري في التفسير. So that's similar to what we read earlier from Sheikh Sa'd rahimahullah. There was a group of people from the most noble amongst them, and they were the ones who knew the truth, but they didn't practice it. And there are many narrations for that, for those who leave that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called them to. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, and we. This particular story is short, but really, in reality, it has some great lessons to learn from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and make us of those who follow the way of the prophets and messengers. And inshallah, the next lesson with regards to the prophets will be Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Khalil Rahman sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we go through the book, and this book actually is a beautiful book because it ends with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his story, and it goes in detail with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam story. But also, it doesn't just mention the prophets and messengers that we are well acquainted with only, but also it mentions about Ashab al-Kahf, who Shaykh al-Sa'd rahimahullah puts them in the book. Because he considered them to also be prophets in the sense that they called to Tawheed, and that was after the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. After that story, he mentions about Ashab al-Kahf, and thereafter he has 20 pages. All of it is just about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also there's a story of Dhulqarnain, which is also mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. No. So these stories, inshallah, we'll go over them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're able to cover the various benefits from each of the stories. And you can see from each story, there's a portion of society where you can reflect upon and see, subhanallah, how true that is. How true that is. When it comes to wealth, we read about Prophet Hud alayhi salatu salam with Ad, and how his people used wealth and it overcome them, and they thought they were self-sufficient with their intelligence and their wealth and so on and so forth, but they destroyed themselves in the end with their arrogance. When it came to those who were considered to be respected and noble in society, but in reality they were evil, the end result is that they were the worst of the people, and they got the worst punishment from Allah, that they were destroyed with a rock, and that killed them. And we read also in the story of Nuh alayhi salatu salam, that those who mock, which is another trait from the evil traits, and dispraised, mock the prophets and mock the righteous, what was the end result of those people? They were drowned. And we read about also Adam alayhi salatu salam, we should be careful of sins. Shaitan is following us, chasing us in order to misguide us, and we should also be conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us whenever shaitan tries to lead us astray. By Allah, these stories, they're not stories. They are not qisas. They are qasas. Qisas, stories that you read in storybooks with truth and falsehood mixed. This is qasas. These are parables. These are morals and etiquette that we can learn from the best of the people. And we can also see from the people who they came to, how they destroyed themselves with the particular sin that they had. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, and I will close with this, As-sa'idu man wu'idha bighayrihi. The happy one, the content one, is he who learns from other people's mistakes. So when you learn about those people who came before us and their mistakes, don't follow that same path. Don't follow that same misguidance, because the punishment of Allah will come upon you just like it came upon them. And it's not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. What did he say afterwards? وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. Not afraid. He's not afraid to bring about his punishment and what will transpire after it. What the people will say, what is the Lord of all of creation? What is he going to be afraid of? Who is he going to be afraid of? So I ask Allah to forgive us and protect us. There was a question here. Afwan, this isn't related to the lesson. However, I hope you can advise. We see many women in the streets during the day, not wearing hijab, or correct hijabs, or jilbabs. Also, brothers with isbal, is it upon us to stop every single one to advise them? Are we sinful if we don't do so? First of all, Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. On no soul does Allah place a burden more than can bear. You do whatever you are able to do. If you feel that you can advise somebody that you know, somebody that you're able to reach, alhamdulillah, advice. If it means that you have to be subtle about it and you have to advise slowly, then well and good. But to stop everyone in the streets just like that, I don't know if you, yani, what the repercussions will be. Because if you say to a sister or a lady, she's not wearing hijab, and you stop her and you say, sister, how are you going to approach her? As a sister, I mean, as a woman. You have to have good manners, you have to have wisdom, you have to have, yani, and how are you going to do that? So it's not so much, can you do it? It's how you're going to do it. Usually if the opportunity arises, well and good. But to stop people, maybe she wants to get home. Maybe she has an appointment to reach. Maybe, yeah. So, you know, you have to also be intelligent about it and also be wise about it. Nah. And brothers as well. If you see brothers, again, they may be busy trying to get to somewhere. Maybe trying to pay their parking meter. And if, believe me, he's not going to listen to you. If he wants to pay his meter, you've got to tell him about his trousers. He's not going to listen to you. He's going to run to the... So you have to be wise about it. If there a situation arises, nah, alhamdulillah. But before all of that is tawheed. Before all of that is worshipping Allah alone, to call upon Allah alone, to recognize that He's the Creator who deserves to be worshipped alone. So sometimes we may begin with this, and then you may cause more harm than good. So start with sincerity. Start with ikhlas. Start with aqeedah. Start with iman in Allah. Once you see the good effects, alhamdulillah, then you can move on to other things. Or you can make isharat. You can make some isharat. You don't have to point at the person themselves. Oh brother, you are... No. This is... But maybe you can mention, you know, such and such happened, as an advice. So you're actually indirectly giving him dawah, but you're using some wisdom regarding it. That is if you don't know the person. If you know the person, then alhamdulillah, you can take them to the side and you could advise them to the best of your ability. Like for example, salah. When you go to your relative's houses, you go to your relative's houses and some of the members don't pray. So when salah comes, don't sit quiet. Say, inshallah, I'm going to pray now. Establish it. Inshallah, we're going to pray now. Bismillah, yalla, salli. Let's pray. And now you're going head on. And inshallah, you didn't say anything wrong, but it's something that was, that is known, and that should be known. No. So there's ways of doing it. I remember one time as well, there's a situation where in our house we used to have pictures on the wall. And I said to my mom, take these pictures off, because pictures of human beings and this, and angels don't come into a house with pictures. So initially, of course, they're not going to do that. Initially, it's going to take time. Especially your parents, you have to be very careful and very kind. So to replace them, I went and got some other pictures, and that was a good way of trying to remove that. Now, alhamdulillah, since that time, we don't have any pictures of human or animals in the house that are displayed on the walls. But if you didn't replace it, you'd probably be the one out the house. Huh? So use wisdom and try to your best. Even to the extent there was we had a duck, kind of a duck in the house. Huh? And subhanAllah, this duck actually took off the head, you know. Took off the head. My mum found out, she said, I know who did this. But I told her, yeah, ummi, we don't have that. And then I replaced it with the money that she paid for it or more. So there are ways. But really, and there are houses, subhanAllah, with still pictures on the walls. Pictures of human beings and pictures of animals. And angels don't enter a house with pictures in them. So there are ways. But it has to be with good manners, with wisdom, with the beautiful preaching, especially with the elders. The elders, you have to be extra nice with them. And extras, and be patient. Be patient, because they've been upon their way for many years. So how are you going to change something overnight? You have to try slowly. And you advise them, and inshallah, when they see as well that you are sincere, you are trying your best, that you don't want to confrontation like Prophet Sadiq, he said, "No, I'm just not here to confront you. This is just something which I'm calling you to worship Allah to the best of my ability." No. What time is Salatul Isha? 11.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك حياكم الله